All right. Has everyone eaten? Everyone satisfied? No longer hungry? Yeah, we're ready. Don't worry. I'll do this quickly. I'll be fast. Okay, just checking that you guys are awake. How was today for you guys? Who fasted today? Wow. Was it anyone's first time? No? Okay. Was this one of the first times for anyone? Okay, just gauging the room. It's okay, it's fine. Yeah. How was today? I just want to get a general consensus. Did anyone get hangry? Around 11 o'clock, I got very irritated with birds. Anyone get a terrible caffeine headache? Oof, yeah, me as well, don't worry. Yeah, so fasting, interesting topic to talk about. I'm glad I could get it, but at the same time, I was like, oof, it's kind of like talking about money. People kind of withdraw a bit when they first hear things like church and finances and fasting. They're like, oof, because it kind of like touches a little bit, like, don't touch me and my morning coffee, please. That hit a bit harder than I was expecting. But yeah, I just thought we would go through a little bit of a journey of what is fasting and what does it look like in our lives. And more or less, let's go on a bit of a journey. I won't keep you guys long. Like I said, I'll be fast. When we think of fasting, what do we think about? First thing that comes to mind, I'm in church, so it is what we did today, but the second thing that comes to mind, and according to Google, it is the first thing that comes to mind, for people, is intermittent fasting. Now, that is not what we did today. Intermittent fasting is a very modern trend of fasting for around 15 to 16 hours a day and then eating for 8. So this is not what we are doing today. There's a few things that when we think fasting, intermittent fasting being one of them, juice fasting or juice cleanses, that's where you take the beetroot and the carrot and the celery and you drink that instead of eating. That is not what we did today. And then fasting for medical procedures are quite often they say, please arrive at the theater in a fasted state. Quite a few different things around fasting. And then, so the last one I'll touch on is Daniel fasting. I'll get to that a bit later, but that's not what we did today. And I just want to briefly touch on that. Mainly, if you're not sure what it is, Daniel fasting is a method where you purely eat vegetables, fruit, and nuts. The idea is that it follows what Daniel did in Babylon, where he, in the first part, when he first came into Babylon, he was like, hey, can we just, for 10 days, just eat fruit and vegetables and just see what it's like compared to everyone else? And everyone's like, yo, that's actually, it works. And then later on, he actually fasts before getting this amazing vision as well. So that fast is what a lot of people have adopted these days as a method to fast, and it is in essence a fast. It's withholding food withholding certain foods and seeking God, and it is amazing. That is not what I'm talking about tonight. Tonight what I'm talking about is the Hebrew verb tsum, which means to fast. It's not too fast, like too fast. It's like too fast. It's a verb. Referring to the practice of abstaining from food, the entirety group food, and sometimes drink as well, which is considered a full fast. So this is food, whole food, everything, and sometimes water. So today what we were called to do was a tsum fast. It is to abstain from food for a whole day and just drink water, or in some extreme cases, no water at all. So now that I laid that ground level, we will get back onto Daniel fasting. I'm not chucking it out. I'm actually an advocate for it. It's a different kind of fasting, but it's not in essence what we see in the Bible. So scriptural fasting, we can see three major fasts in the Bible. And I just want to quickly run through these before we go on. First, it's actually the first recorded fasting within scriptures. It's Moses on Mount Sinai. So there's this massive mountain full of fire. Everyone's like, oh my goodness, I can't handle this. Moses, please go. So he climbs up the mountain. He meets God there. And he brings along with him two tablets where God writes his covenant with the Israelites on. And while he's there, he stays up there for 40 days without food or water. I guess insane. He's just laying prostrate before the Lord and he's just in his presence. Mountains on fire. He comes down and people have built a calf, a statue of a calf. And he's like, oh my goodness. He chucks it at the floor signifying the breaking of a covenant. And he's like, he goes back up to make another one. And he does it again. He fasts again for 40 days. I think this is probably like the only record I can find of someone fasting for 40 days twice. It's quite insane, or within scripture at least. So that's the first one. The second one is Elijah. So he just slays a bunch of Baal and Asherah. Priests, he just slays like a bunch of them, and then Jezebel is super upset with him. He's like, I am going to hunt you down. And he's like, he just sits under a tree, he's like, I'm ready to die. God, you can take me up. This is right after an amazing feat. Anyways, let's not get down that rabbit hole. And then he gets woken up by an angel. He says, eat, drink, for your journey is long. He does that twice, and then he goes on a 40-day travel to the Mount of God, which is Horeb, where he encounters God in an amazing way as well. And then the third, and which I feel is the most amazing one, so I see, because it's Jesus. It's Jesus when, right before he starts his ministry, he goes into the desert and he eats no food for 40 days. It doesn't specifically say he didn't drink water, but the first thing the devil does is he tempts him. He's like, hey, turn these stones into bread. Meaning, like he starts attacking his hunger because it says he was hungry. I always find it funny when I read that he fasted for 40 days and he was hungry. It's like, yes, I would expect as much. But the devil starts tempting him on something very, very key. He starts tempting him on his hunger, getting back to that now. So we see many, many, many more instances throughout Scripture of people fasting, anything from a day to 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, in different circumstances for different reasons. But the main key aspect in all of these things is we see people yearning for God in their fast. And some it's for repentance, and some it's just seeking Him, and some it's just like agony, mourning, all of these different things, different lengths and different intensities, but they're all looking for God, their Creator. And when Jesus came, around the time of Jesus, it was very common actually to fast. They were commonly fasting on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe, the Pharisees, twice a week, from sunrise to sunset, a full day fast. They were doing that every week, twice a week. It's a bit insane considering our fasting habits, which might not look quite as regular as that. But so Jesus is in this context of people continuously fasting. It is a common practice to fast in that time. That's one of the reasons why in Matthew 6, where he says, and when you fast, he doesn't say, you guys should fast. He says, when you guys fast. It's kind of like saying, when you go to Jekyll's and get chicken. It says, it's like in a very matter-of-fact way. He says, do not be gloomy and look like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. He kind of starts targeting the title you use here is hypocrites. It's just the way that people go about fasting. It's the way they go about it in that time where it's like they draw their faces. It's like, oh, I'm fasting. They probably put on a limp as well. Just like, yes, today's been tough. And it's like he starts saying, hey, you guys have missed the plot here. You guys are fasting not for the right reason. You're fasting in action but not in heart. And so much of Jesus' ministry is that of the heart. He says that is what God is looking for. He's looking for your heart. Which is why he says, goes on to say, but when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only your Father who is unseen and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He's basically saying the fasting was not about the display, it wasn't about the action, it was about the action of the heart. And that is what is most important about fasting. And I believe what a lot of us went through today, we might not necessarily see what the reward is yet, but it's not a six pack. Although it might have been, I'm not sure how severe today was for some of us. But anyways, the reward of our fasting is not material. The reward of our fasting is God. That is it. That is ultimately it. That is the main reason. That is the goal. If we attain that, wow, we have gotten it. When we fast, we take a posture of surrender unto God. It's essentially saying, like, hey, I'm not going to take the very thing that I feel I need to sustain myself, and I'm going to give it up, and I'm going to seek you, basically. So it's like a step of faith, saying, if I don't get my three meals today, I'm going to trust you that I'm going to be fine. And it's a way that we ultimately deny our flesh. So this word flesh I'm using is language that Paul likes to use. It's to describe our earthly and sinful nature. Flesh is not body. Body is God created. Flesh is what sin is coming from. It's like it's not often his physical bodies. And to his letter to the Romans, Paul says, leave behind these certain things. He refers to drunkenness, sexual immorality, quarreling, and jealousy. Interesting list. I don't feel like these are unilateral, but he adds them right after each other. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So it's basically saying, here are these things that people are doing, the way that their flesh is just running rampant, through drunkenness, sexual immorality, quarreling, and jealousy. He says, don't allow these things. Rather, don't make provision for it, but rather put on Jesus Christ and act differently, act in a different way. And this is what fasting does. It's essentially a direct a sort of battle against our flesh. It's a way of saying no to instant gratification, no to those little like, I could really use a cupcake right now. Ooh, is it 12? Can I have my second cup of coffee or not? It's like those little desires that we have throughout a day that we just become so used to hearing in our minds. The quick flip out of the phone, the quick, you know, glance of the eye, comparison, like, ooh, that's nice shoes. Those little things that kind of fill our days, that just comes from the flesh. Fasting is one of the most direct ways to go against that. Because our flesh is in direct opposition to Christ. Our flesh is what led to the fall. Our flesh is what keeps us in death. But because of what Jesus did, we are past that. We're no longer stuck in our flesh. And we can accept salvation, and we can accept freedom from that, accept that price has been paid for our sin. But we're still stuck in our bodies. Our bodies are still waging war against that revelation of Christ. So what do we do now? We're stuck in this tension. And fasting is one of the things we can do, which is the disciplines of, like David mentioned, fasting is a discipline, a means to attain, get to a state where we can grow closer to God and allow him to sanctify us through this process. It's not religious asceticism where we just kind of damaging our body, saying our body is the enemy. The body is the enemy. Whereas actually the flesh, the body is God created. God created our bodies. He created us to look like Yaku. And it's amazing just the beauty of what he's designed. Like the fact that our bodies work the way it does is amazing. I seriously struggle to believe, like, theories of evolution. It's like, how can you get so specific, so well designed? Yeah. And fasting ultimately draws us back and draws us to nearing to God. By actively denying our flesh and seeking our Savior and our Creator, we open up a space for the Holy Spirit to change us and sanctify us. So I just want to touch on something very quickly. When we fast, there are some side effects, which is actually pretty cool. A few theologians throughout the time have actually noted how fasting has directly helped with addictions, and especially sexual addictions. They've found some correlations between the almost like the gut and some people's sex drive, and just almost like that, just the way that it relates to one another being falling into addiction and allowing your hunger to rule you. And they found that fasting as a secondary, remember, primary purpose of fasting is actually to attain God. The secondary thing is actually allows them to directly, address these addictions in their lives. Because it's like, as we deny our flesh, we start working on this little muscle, like this little self-control muscle. And all of a sudden, it's like this muscle becomes a bit more aware. I don't know if you guys have gone to a biokineticist, like when they start asking you to do these weird movements, and then you just feel like this weird tweak somewhere, like they're working this very specific muscle. It's almost like that muscle's never been worked before. And in the same way, when you fast and when you work the self-control muscle, it creates like a new way of movement, a new way of thinking, and a new means in which we can kind of just dictate our lives. Because we've accepted salvation, and we've accepted Christ, but we are still in our sinful bodies, and we have to work with God and work with the Holy Spirit in achieving sanctification. We can't just sit back on the couch and say, "Sanctify me." We have to work with God, and through these disciplines are different means in which we kind of progress ourselves and meet the Holy Spirit halfway, in a sense, and allow Him to do the work that we could never do. Yeah, and like just that self-control starts working in your life, and like it prevents you from taking that extra bite, you know, and quickly checking your phone, like I said. And you know, it's like when you're just standing in line, you just feel that itch, you're like, no messages, okay, fine, we're fine. And it's just like about that self-control, just allowing us to deny those things. And these disciplines of quiet time, prayer, worship, and meditation, all these different ways that we can really connect with and grow closer to God. But these things take discipline. And that's a part of the problem. It's like we're so used to getting things now. We're so used to, you know, take a lot quick order. Pay five extra rand and you get it delivered tomorrow instead of the day after. And it's like we have such a quick response. We're so used to things being like falling in our lap so quickly. Like if I pay enough, I can get it now. Instead of just learning to wait on the Lord, learning to meditate, observe birds, observe trees, and observe nature, learning to really take it slow and steady, and allowing God to meet you and seeking Him out in the slow. Because, I mean, like, it's ironic. Like, it's called a fast, but I really felt slow today. Like, worship, I could hear you guys were so in it, but it was not at the level of a Sunday morning. Our bodies physically run on food. And that's how God made us. And a fast isn't about, okay, we're just going to go for the rest of our lives. We're not going to eat anything. We know we're just going to seek God every day. Fast is about setting time aside. It's about consecrating time. It's about setting that time aside and actually seeking God in it. And it requires work to find God, because our brains aren't wired necessarily to go look for God. We're so used to the quick fixes. And we actually have to train our brain again just to start looking for the things that really matter. Richard Foster mentions in his book, Celebration of Discipline, in the chapter on fasting, he says, "More than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that truly control us. That whatever comes out when we fast, it's almost like that is the reality of where we're at. It's a reality check. Like, really craving a cup of coffee this morning, like, wow, that is that controlling me? And like, we're getting extra angry when I'm hungry, and it's like, is that really what's inside? It's not fasting's fault. Fasting just brought it to the surface. And it just shows us more and more just how much we need God in all of this. Yeah, just maybe just take a moment and think, what was a moment today that you're like, oh, whoops, shucks, oh, that's interesting. I never thought that thought in a while or before. And did you see anything interesting come up in your personality? Yeah, what is controlling you? Okay, moving on practically. What is fasting? Let's wrap this up. It's a consecrated time of abstaining and eating from food, and with the goal of drawing nearer to God through prayer. So it's a, like I said, it's a set amount of time. It's either a day, 3 days, 2 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, or a week, or in some extreme cases, 40 days. And it's just about setting time aside and allowing that time to really focus on God. It isn't a commandment in the New Testament. Jesus does treat it very matter-of-factly, but he says, my disciples will pray. Oh, my disciples will fast. When John's disciples question him, like, why aren't your disciples fasting? He says they will fast. He's not saying he's not saying you must, but there's an invitation, because it's essentially it's us coming to the Father, and it's a realization and should be in everyone's path of faith, that desire to fast. It's not natural. I was not looking forward to today, but it's so important and part of our faith journey, being able to come to this place of really seeking the Father and denying aspects of myself, denying my flesh, so that I can seek Him, sacrificing so I can seek Him, because He sacrificed way more than I ever could. Biblical fasting is no food, or in some cases full fast, where it's like no food and no water. And Daniel fast is an option as well. So I was going to come back to this. It's a really good option. It's where you abstain from things like meat and sweets, sugar, and just go purely for vegetables, fruit, and nuts, and water. It's a very good option for those who struggle with health and certain medical conditions, and you really want to fast, but you can't do the full fast. And it's a really good alternative for that. And essentially, it goes really close to the heart of what fasting it is. It's not about what you do, it's about the heart that you have behind it. Jesus came teaching about how God wants our hearts, not our actions. Our actions flow from our heart, not the other way around. But do consider the fact that there was a reason why those who came before us in the faith and those throughout scriptures fasted food and water, just drank water. I think there was a reason behind this. And do heavily consider it. Yeah, so for how long and how often, there's no fixed length. Like I said, you can skip a meal, you can skip a day. Quite often in the early church, they would fast from sunrise to sundown weekly, twice, on a Wednesday and a Friday. The Wednesday signifying the day Jesus was killed, and Friday the day that he was resurrected. They would typically end it on the Friday evening, and they would start their Sabbath with a feast, breaking their fast with a feast. In the early church, I think it's a fantastic way of looking at it. There's a lot of part of the tradition where they actually break fast with feasts. I think we often forget that. We're supposed to celebrate. So fasting isn't just about being mournful. Yeah. And then, yeah, at least once a month is a good place to start. It sounds a bit extreme. Once a month, if you can, try and aim for that and maybe work it down to once a week. It's a really good really, really good practice. It doesn't have to be super intense. You can still go to work. You don't need to take leave. You can still exercise. It's not uncommon, actually, for athletes to train in a fasted state. They actually purposely fast so that they can train in a fasted state. It's part of the methodology of the clever hospital science people that know what's happening, but you really can exercise while you're fasting. You can see people, you can act normal, put some oil in your hair like Jesus said, brush your teeth, your breath probably really smells. That is a side effect, unfortunately, it's the ketosis. Your breath does smell. But instead of eating, take time for prayer. Yeah, one of my things I really love doing is taking a walk in the park. Instead of going for lunch, just taking a prayer walk. And just looking at some birds and some trees and just really being there with the Lord. That's one of my favorite parts of fasting, in and amongst the hunger pains and caffeine headaches. And take time for prayer. Deep, long prayer. And read more scripture on your day that you fast, or days that you are fasting. Read more. It's essentially your food. You're abstaining from food to seek God, and one of the best ways to find Him is in scripture. Yeah, make sure you're reading extra scripture, more than you are usually. While you aren't eating with your mouth, feast with your spirit. Yeah, and it goes without saying, but I think it's important to say, a fast without seeking the Lord is essentially just starving yourself. So make sure you set out routines in your day when you do decide to fast, to actually seek the Lord and spend that time. Don't work through lunch, because just because you're not going to eat, set that time aside and actually meet with Him. I just want to quickly touch on this one thing that was fascinating for me, just to see God's biology and design of our biology. So you kind of go through three or four stages when you do fast. This is just in a purely biological stage. So the first state is your fed state. You just had your steak, your potatoes, you're in a fed state. When the first few hours after, which is the first few hours after eating. During this state, your body digests the food and it uses uses the energy in the from that food and goes into your bloodstream and your insulin levels increase. With all other hormones and stuff, you know, happy days, you have food in your stomach, your body's happy. So the second stage is when 3 or 4 hours after eating, that's normally when you start thinking, I need a snack, or is it lunchtime yet? That's when your body starts using things in your liver for glycogen. This lasts for around 18 hours. So it's like 3 to 4 hours to 18 hours. So you can actually really stretch your lunch. You don't have to have lunch 3 hours after you've eaten. There's still quite a lot of reserves in your body. Your body hasn't gotten to eating your muscles yet. So 3 to 18 hours, that's a very wide window. Just to say, most of what you felt today was just your body overreacting. So it really is fine. The third state, this is where I feel like the Lord is just like, you guys, I'm glad you finally found this out when you found it out. This is from 18 hours to 2 days after eating. When your body goes into ketosis, where it starts eating up or using your body fat for energy. It starts using those reserves. But then something fantastic happens after 24 hours where autophagy happens. It's when your body begins to destroy old or damaged cells and proteins. So it's essentially, it starts a garbage collection process. It starts getting those few cells there that it hasn't really been able to get to and starts cleaning it out. And your body actually starts detoxing in a sense, and it starts getting rid of these old cells and actually becomes healthier. And after 36 hours, your growth hormones spike, meaning your muscle repairs in that state. And it's actually an amazing time of restoration, that while your body is essentially dying, or you feel like you're dying, like, can I just get a hamburger? Your body's actually busy restoring. It's been a fascinating just thing for me. I don't know if you guys have Garmin's, but there's a little thing called a body battery. Lisa doesn't believe it works, but I see whenever I fast, it spikes all the way up. It goes higher than it's ever been than when I eat, and I see now, as soon as I've eaten, it's gone down by 10%. I don't know if it works, but I feel like it works. Now, I think it's just an amazing side effect that we don't even notice. And I think there's a lot of these disciplines and practices where you see within Scripture that we don't understand the full effect of. That almost God in his internal wisdom has been like, do these things and there are good benefits that come from it, not just, just in the physical side as well as the spiritual. So yes. Fasting, not easy, not the best, not the most fun thing. You don't think, hey, I want to go fasting for my birthday this year. It's not like something we actively look forward to, but it's something that brings so much life. And it requires like continual practice. It's a discipline. It requires continually practicing in it to reach a state where we can realize, wow, I'm actually getting to connect with the Lord so much better after those fasts. Like, you start realizing the patterns, and you start realizing, wow, there is so much value to this. And it takes time for that to form. I think quite often I just sit there feeling like I'm not connecting to the Lord at all during my fasts. But the days afterwards, there's something different in my quiet times. And it's not about the performance on the day, being like, you know, I was amazing. I didn't even think about coffee once. It's not about the performance. It's about looking for God's heart. And almost, and still doing it even though you're not fully there. Still doing it and still going through it because God's still there. He hasn't changed. Maybe your metabolism has. Yeah, and I really want to encourage you that this becomes a regular habit, a regular discipline in your lives. And it does, like I said, it doesn't have to be hectic and over the top. You can still go to work, don't have to put in leave. It's not on your pay slip, like leave, fast leave, remaining three. Yeah, I really want to encourage you. Consider putting this in as a weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly habit. It is something that I truly believe, amongst all the other disciplines, can truly change your walk with the Lord and truly help you overcome these small addictions and maybe even bigger addictions over life. And yeah, one of the ways I know that I really need to, I have missed my routine of fasting is when I find myself on YouTube. I actively avoid it. But when I find myself there looking at how to make cream sandwich, like Japanese cream sandwich, and I'm just like, what am I doing? And I just realize I've lost that self-control. That self-control muscle is just completely relaxed, and my quiet times have suffered for it as well. Yeah, and it's not worth the 15-second video. But yeah, let me pray for us and wrap up the evening. I'm just want to say it's glad we could all fast together today. And again, encourage you to take us on as a regular habit and discipline. Yeah, let's bow our heads. Yes, Father, thank you that you have designed our bodies and you have designed this world that we live in. Thank you that you reach down to us. That you are not too far and you do not hide yourself. You do not hide your face from us. I pray that as we go out tonight that we'll continue to just feel your presence near to us. And help us to just distinguish those things in our lives and our daily lives that we realize is just distracting us from you. Just pulling us further away from you. And I pray that you'll reveal that to us and help us put them aside and really seek you, our Creator, our Father. Jesus, we want to praise you and honor you for what you did, that sacrifice that you made. And Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us and changing us and sanctifying us. Now, may we rest well tonight. And may you watch over us as we go home. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Have a lovely night.